Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
We got comedian Michael Costa. We got the news coming up. We have heavyweight champ Lennox Lewis as well. So a lot of second half show coming your way. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. More online holiday shopping this year. Yeah, everyone's home. Everyone's shopping from home, and that means your information is at a high risk out there. A lot of phishing attacks. Experts recommend checking your credit score, not overspending, limiting new credit cards, and freezing credit if needed. Even after the holidays, it's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. These holidays, you could miss identity threats by just monitoring your credit and bank statements alone. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your info is being used in their network, they will send you an alert. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you feel warm and protected this holiday season. Save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code Adam. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com, promo code Adam.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
I don't want to say I got a symbolic victory in that game, but if you take my two half answers, Danny Boy, and then the other one, and combine them, and then you take the movie which should have been Valkyrie, and you count that, and
well,
then
first place,
and then you picture a world where there was a movie starring Bruce Willis called Navageddon. You combine that,
you're shoo-in.
I got the win easily, and later on in the week I'm gonna release the Kraken, and you guys have all the information you need.
Can't wait for that. Well, starting off with some hot, piping hot Tom Cruise news.
Ooh.
After his tongue lashing the other day, five crew members have walked off the set.
Whoa. So this movie's still going?
Rather than take the abuse from Tom, they took an early Christmas break, and in Tom's immortal words, they're freaking gone, because that's what he threatened everybody with. A source on the set said tension had been running high anyway. Then Cruise erupted with anger under the stress to finish Mission Impossible 7 under strict regulations, and more importantly, before Christmas Eve. The insider claims, since Tom's outburst became public, there's been more anger. He's upset others aren't taking it as seriously as him. 3 months ago, Cruise reportedly chartered that docked ship so the movie, so the crew could isolate. So he's going, you know, above and beyond, and he wants his movie done.
Couple thoughts. Tom Cruise must, like, tell stories where he's like, I was in my hotel room the other night getting ready to run to my bed. And I had this thought. Also, tongue lashing is one of those things that definitely sounds better than it is, you know, because
yes.
if you found out that L. McPherson was going to give you a tongue lashing, you'd be like, sign me
Sweet.
Up
yeah.
if you didn't know what it
Good
was.
Line.
And then also, isn't this guy a Scientologist? I mean, isn't that supposed to kind of smooth you out a little, kind of, you know, even you out, take some
think
of the edges
be
off?
Without it. Think we'd be without it.
Oh, that's a good.
Oh, boy.
That's a good point.
Well, I don't know if you've seen all of the Leah Remini TV shows that I have or all the documentaries, but the guy at the top gets a little handsy with people sometimes when he's angry.
Miscavige.
So I think Miscavige. So there might be some light, you know, some dusting of abuse, you know.
They ever
but
find
who's to say?
that guy's wife go missing?
Shelly is missing. The I don't know.
I don't think she's been seen in many years.
There is whispered hushed talk that she is in that tunnel prison in Hemet that they have.
They have a compound and like
yeah, in Hemet.
Oh, in Hemet. All right.
Yeah. Who's to say?
Not us.
So vaccine news, Mike Pence is scheduled to get the vaccine now as you're hearing this. But guess who beat him to the punch? Sir Ian McKellen. He got the vaccine. He's 81 years old and he was eligible to receive the first wave of vaccines. And he didn't hesitate. I think we have a picture of that. He says anyone who has lived as long as I have because they've has lived as long as I have and is alive because they have had previous vaccinations, I would encourage everybody to do the sensible thing, not just for themselves, but for everybody else, because if you're virus free, that helps everybody else, doesn't it? So he's on board. Pence is on board. Adam Carolla is on board.
Yeah, and everyone I know is on board. Also, I think the lady from the Great British Bake Off, at least I saw on TMZ last night.
All the greats.
Got it as well. So when we're getting into, you know, deep cable and baking shows, we're in pretty good pandemic shape. That's the way I look
so.
At it.
Well, not everybody wants to wear a mask on a plane. Not everybody can wear a mask on a plane, or so they claim. And so a Russian airline is making special accommodations for them. So it's Aeroflot, Russia's flagship airline. They announced this week that passengers who refuse to wear a mask on board will be seated in a designated maskless area of the plane. So you're not going to get denied boarding. You're basically just going to be sitting in the last two rows. There's no information about if there's anything separating those people from the rest of the passengers, but that is the way they're going to handle this. You just sit in the back. What, like the smoking section?
What I've learned from flying commercial is even if they did put a division between the two areas, somebody would leave their area to take a shit in my area. That's what I've learned from flying first class over the years.
Right.
You cannot tell them that bathroom is not theirs. It's, you know, the one that they bought a ticket for is 86 feet behind them and has three people in it. The one in first class is 12 foot forward and is empty. They're doing it there. So whatever divider you put up in an airplane, people will just go right the fuck through it and take a shit. That much I know.
That's true. Well, that's why the smart money is on the flight attendants in Asia who've been encouraged to wear adult diapers.
You want to talk about like short straw in the stewardess department? You know, the aforementioned DiCaprio's private jet has got to be the best gig ever in terms of the flight attendant. The Russian airline maskless section is got there can be no lower draw than that when it comes to being a flight attendant, right?
Yeah, that's the nuts worst.
Aren't adult diapers meant for people who have, you know, leaking problems? They're not meant for you just to let it all go
for full release.
Yeah. It's like, oh, when I sit down, you know, this happens. I think there overall, we need to re-educate people that adult diapers aren't just so you can shit your pants whenever you want.
That's
right?
A very good point.
Well,
they're for incontinence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were designed for one thing.
Well, I see the commercials. The chicks are in the park doing yoga, and there's no way she went to the park to piss herself.
Exactly. I mean, accidental. Yeah.
She had a hysterectomy 9 months ago, and she's a little worried about the instructor when she gets into the down dog, right?
Yeah.
So this Asian airline is just part of employment is that you have to be comfortable and able. By the way, if you gave me $1,000, I'm not sure I could just go.
Right.
Fully
clothed. This was the suggestion of the flight administration.
Right.
This is something because we don't want you going in and out of those ransacked, disease filled bathrooms.
Right.
But feel free to
shuffle around paying customers
with a load.
This is the second time this week that adult diapers has come up in an involved discussion on this show.
Well, and I didn't mean to kind of make this be the one to talk about, but I just think there's a misconception that adults just want to like crap themselves. By the way, I once had to roast Tony Siragusa, that old
Baltimore Ravens tackle.
Yeah.
You know, nose guard.
Of course. Yeah, I was going to say.
Of course. But he was the spokesman for Depends adult diapers for a while. And I remember when we roasted him, his people were like, hey, just do us a favor and don't talk about the Depends thing. And I'm like, that is the biggest.
That's it.
That's the one thing we can't talk about.
That would be at the top of every comic's course. Leaderboard if you're roasting someone to talk about
their
Depends. Tony Siracusa.
But I don't think he was just unloading in his pants. I think my guess would be that because of years of difficult tackling, every once in a while, some slippage comes out. I don't know why I got all pumped up about this news topic.
You're passionate. Well, passionate about the topic.
I see more and more adult diaper commercials as I get older. It could be I'm watching too much Fox as well. I don't know yet.
maybe
if I watch a little Nickelodeon, I'd probably see less. It hasn't
Lightly
been
less.
Proven, but I'm going to test it out over the weekend. But the other one I would see was the commercial for the medication you needed to take because you took too many painkillers and you can't take a shit.
Oh, now you got to poop, yeah.
And I envision an America 5 years from now where half the population is wearing a diaper and the other is on so many painkillers that they haven't shit in 3 weeks.
Dude, that's possible, by the way, because that balance, because chemotherapy does the same thing as the painkillers. It stops you up and you got to balance that out with, like, you know, Ducalax and all the just all the shit, no pun intended.
It's called Ducalax.
That's a delicate balance, how much of that to take. It's a real trial and error. When I say error, that's where the diapers come in. Your singularity is not that far away.
Yeah, well, we just divide America into two groups, the diaper wearers and the ones that couldn't shit no matter how many diapers they had on. In terms of comedy themes, I had the idea the other day, which was, you know, kids' diapers. And I have 14-year-old twins, so I recall this period. The girls have the Disney princesses on them, and the guys' diapers have the cars, the Pixar cars on there, or, you know, Power Rangers or whatever the hell it is. And it's kind of festive and it's kind of cool. I was thinking, like, why don't adult diapers have themes? You know, why can't we put stuff on the adult
Fighting diaper. Irish diaper.
Yeah, you got a team. Maybe you love Margaret Thatcher. You know what I mean? Like, why can't they represent?
Yeah, and certainly the adult diaper industry wants especially after Siracusa uses it, but they want us to feel more comfortable with this. You know, they're really trying to downplay this being a big event. Hey, it's all good. You can do yoga in the park, even though we can all see the diaper outline in that commercial.
Your visible diaper line.
I'm no diaper technician, but is there such a thing as a thong diaper, Gina?
really defeat the purpose.
There should be.
There should definitely be like a PGA sponsorship, like your favorite golfer, you know.
How many?
Or your least favorite.
All right.
Excuse me. Your least favorite golfer.
For sure, Fuzzy Zeller for me. Is how many celebrities and sports icons passed on the diaper before they got to Siracusa? You know, they had to start with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And then, well, what's Bob Greasy up to or something?
Like, every retired, nameth Greasy.
It had to be a hard no from all their people. You don't just start with Siracusa.
Bad news, no, Tom. Zonka said no.
That's right.
But that's a big payday, right, Adam?
You have to be.
You don't say yes to that unless it is a, you know, big payday.
Speaking of a big payday, they need something to represent the shit because all those tampon and maxi pad commercials, they got the blue dye.
Blue and purple. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How come no such luck with the diapers? Where's our representation?
That's right.
And I argue a big payday would do it nicely.
There is a device.
Thanks, Gina. It took a minute. Are people not getting that joke?
Yeah.
Payday the candy bar, sorry. Yeah. A big payday.
There is some device that some click hole I went down. It's like a portable bidet.
Yeah.
And it's certainly for like city folk. Anyone who's lived in New York knows there are days when you leave the house and like you cannot find a bathroom that you can use all day. So you just have to like whatever. But to refer to what you were just saying, Adam, something has, you know, the blue dye equivalent to crap. They used hummus on like a, on a glass pane, and they kind of showed you the, but I thought that was actually quite tasteful, pardon the pun of you, but because you have to do something to reference crap.
Wow. They used hummus. Wow.
Did so
they,
I, you know,
did they say it was hummus, or
did they visibly open the Sabra?
It showed the glass pane with hummus on, and then it kind of showed you the power of the bidet. And I watched this commercial way too long, so
yeah,
excuse me for butting in with this.
All right, I was going to go to Zanku for lunch, but scrub that.
Well, you know, they had the was it called the Stadium Pal or the Stadium Buddy, which is like an external catheter you tape onto your penis and then strap it to your leg. So you just have hot pee next to your shin for the whole game.
Yeah. Chris Loxamana backed me up. Any serious gambler has given consideration to the adult diaper. Like anyone who's doing a session at the
craft
table.
You're on a hot streak.
Yeah, I'm not leaving that craft table. Crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there's the famous NASA astronaut, that woman, right? She wore the diaper.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. To go on her.
Apparently, I was mistaken. She was going to give her guy a tongue lashing for sleeping with somebody else. She wasn't the one committing the infidelity.
No, she was going to give him a bullet lashing, I thought.
Yeah, that too.
Well, hell hath no fury like a woman with a full diaper who's traveled through nine counties to get to you.
Yeah, so there was a device called the Sneaky Leaker, and it was that catheter thing as well. And it was
wrestler.
Yeah, and it was sold in New Orleans during Mardi Gras. Because you'd be trapped in these parades. But my brother always liked to call it the leaky sneaker instead, which I thought was just a great brother joke.
I saw the commercial. They would use Baba Ganoush to represent Dawson.
Since we're still on this, I knew a guy in college who went to Chico State, and every St. Patrick's Day, which is, you know, obviously a huge drinking holiday in college, the bars would open up at 4 a.m. and he would be in front of the line. He would wear his adult diaper. He would get on the bar stool and not leave that bar stool until he passed out. He would just sit there and pee his pants.
And the lucky gentlewoman that he meets and takes home that evening.
That's Gavin Newsom.
Do you think, are these two statements equivalent? You know, when you'd listen to like Dr. Laura and someone would go, I'm calling for a friend. I have erectile difficulties and I want to know if it's the warts that are causing that for a friend. I knew a guy in college.
I threw in Chico State as a red herring, too. I'm sorry, you got me.
About the same ratio.
I know a handsome fella.
That's right. What else we got, Gina? Can we find that commercial with the hummus? Do we know what that thing's called?
You might have to Google portable bidet and see what comes up.
Yeah, I found one with a peanut butter bagel, but I'm looking for the hummus.
What?
Hold on. I need clarification. Peanut butter on the bagel?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Peanut butter. Okay. They slathered peanut butter all over the bagel.
That makes a difference.
Yeah, they washed it up.
All right.
Whew. Well, these two guys might need an adult diaper. I'm really not sure what condition they're in right now because Steve-O and Johnny Knoxville landed in the hospital 2 days into filming Jackass 4. Bam Margera broke the news in a video revealing the injuries. He says, second day of filming Jackass and already Steve-O and Knoxville are hospitalized by jumping on a full-speed treadmill with band equipment, including a tuba.
Oh, boy.
So Jackass will be the first film involving the whole Jackass cast to be made since the death of cast member Ryan Dunn in 2011. He was 34. The fourth movie opens March 5th, 2021, allegedly. Hoping everybody gets back together.
Well, both good dudes. Johnny's a great guy, and Steve we know as well. And that's a funny bit if you're kind of picturing holding a tuba or trombone or piccolo or whatever and jumping.
Those are hilarious movies.
Jumping on a full speed treadmill. But it's gotta happen.
Personal excitement for shooting these things must be getting lower for them. I mean, as you get older, just the thought of jumping. I mean, you know, there are moments when I wake up and lay in bed and I go, okay, I'm going to have to stand up now. Let's see what happens to my back.
Well,
you know, and I'm 41. I mean, yeah. These guys, their bodies are like 300 years old. I just can't imagine they have the same level of enthusiasm for these bits.
That's true. But Steve-O did say something to the effect on this show of he really does do these stunts with a full, with clarity now because he's sober, which makes them extra intense and extra terrifying.
Sure.
Yeah, I experienced this last night, and it's one of those getting old moves where I walked upstairs to the bedroom to go to bed, got to the bed, realized I left my eye mask, my eye shade mask in my office, and I just stood next to my bed and was like, ugh, gotta go back. Gotta go all the way back down the stairs. Yeah. Got to take that shade off when you're in the bed, in the bedroom. Oh, sure. You can't do that move where you pull it up and put it on your forehead and go about your business because it'll always get left somewhere. All right. What else we got, Gina Grad?
Well, since we're talking about entertainment, we got a couple of reboots coming our way. NBC is developing a sequel series to Night Court, according to Variety.
Oh, boy.
We've been begging for it. Original series star John Larroquette will return as Dan Fielding, while Big Bang Theory star Melissa Rauch will executive produce.
Hey, you ever see that actor who played Bull? You ever see that guy run? It is a shit show.
Thank you, fella.
It's like car dealership.
It's fucking hard. It's hard to watch.
Richard Mull. I think that's right.
Yeah.
I was thinking Martin Mull.
Yeah. I don't think he's with us. I think he was claimed by a ceiling fan many years ago.
Richard Mull. Mull. M-O-L-L.
All right. I'll take credit for Richard Mull.
Yeah. So this version will follow, quote, unapologetic optimist Judge Abby Stone, daughter of the original series character Harry Stone. And wait, there's more. Seth MacFarlane is producing a reboot of Revenge of the Nerds. Keith and Kenny Lucas, the identical twin brothers known for co-starring in 22 Jump Street, are set to write and star in it. According to Variety, the movie won't be a remake. Instead, the contemporary reimagining will pontificate about today's nerd culture and what even constitutes a geek.
But you can't have a revenge. The nerds have won.
They won.
Yeah, right.
Tech
we're
is
living
out of here.
Revenge of the Nerds.
They're the alpha betas.
Yeah, it should be Revenge of the Jocks or, it's like, interesting.
Good point.
The Night Court was one of those TV shows where I can't tell if it was good or bad. It was just on TV. And back when there was three channels and you had nothing else to watch, you just watch Night Court.
You sure did.
And I don't know that anyone, no one ever loved it. It was just there.
Yep.
This is one of the few shows I ever watched and was aware of as a child. Wasn't the initial, much like John Stamos in Full House, where he was like, he's kind of Elvis rockabilly guy at first, then just kind of became Uncle Jesse. Wasn't Harry Anderson's thing like he was into magic? Like
he's a magician.
Magic trick or something, and they kind of scuttled that?
Yeah, real.
I don't remember them scuttling it. Harry, he was a magician.
Yeah, he in real life is into it.
I know, but I'm saying I don't know if it became much of the show after a year or whatever. I don't know the fuck.
They did it. I think it was incorporated in all the way through the seasons. I will say, but I don't know.
Okay, I just had this like traumatic memory of the last episode of Night Court. Am I right in that the series finale? Bull Shannon gets taken by aliens.
We can check.
Isn't he standing like in Harry's like chambers and then like a light comes on him? I feel like this is somewhat familiar.
Dream. Wow.
Do you know that song? They paved paradise and put up a parking lot.
Joni Mitchell.
Okay, that to me is the Night Court of songs. I don't think I like it. I don't even think it's well made, but it is on all the time.
You're aware.
I am aware of it, and I know all the words of it.
Yeah, I agree. And also, you ever seen John Larroquette run? It's bad. He's like 6'4", that dude.
I've not.
We have your portable bidet commercial ready.
Oh, great.
With hummus?
I'm so glad that... Yeah.
Right into the water bottle.
Tube goes in the water bottle. Then they turn it over.
Yeah.
Oh.
Power spray hummus.
So is that better than... Yeah.
At least they didn't dollop the hummus onto the plate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so you put it in clay mask. Oh, I see. Yeah.
They're like power washing the glass.
It shows just how much it can take off. So basically this thing, you drop a hose into a water bottle and then you have pressurized water, right?
And kudos to your production crew for finding that. But the one that I've looked at was even different. So multiple portable bidet companies have decided in their brainstorm meetings that hummus is a fair representation.
Well, maybe it's Big Hummus wanting to move product. That's you know what I mean?
No, I see this as Big Hummus.
Maybe there's some crossover here.
Pretty logical.
Big chickpea.
The thing about the portable bidet is, doesn't all the runoff end up in your pants? Or like, how do you...
Now, where do you aim that?
I feel like I would have to lay on my back on a sewer grate to really properly pull this maneuver off. And that would draw eyeballs because, after all, I am a celebrity.
Yeah, you got to go on a bicycle maneuver where your elbows and shoulder blades are on the ground propping you up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's your only option.
On the dirty floor, which is why you have the bidet?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I could do this or I could just shit at home.
I mean, the problem also is you have to carry around a 2 liter of water.
Yeah.
Yeah,
or soda water.
I gotta believe that all the Starbucks on every corner has added to this problem, because how many times does this happen? And if you're listening at home, we're just going to dedicate another 20 minutes to shit talk, and then we're going to cap it.
I started this. I'm sorry.
We're going to cap it at a tight 40. How many times does this happen to you? You get up in the morning, you have your morning constitution. You're feeling pretty good about yourself. You go up, you go into the kitchen, pour yourself a nice big hot, piping hot black cup of Joe. And then you start sucking on the coffee and you start walking out to your car. And at some point you stop and you go, oh, there's more in the hopper. Like the thing about coffee will find shit you didn't know you had.
That's right.
You think that pencil's out of lead. It isn't. You have to use coffee. Coffee will find it. You can go and take the biggest shit in the morning, ever in the morning, but at some point you're drinking coffee and it's like, uh-oh, there's something else in there. So think about all the people that take the dump in Manhattan, leave the apartment, grab the latte, the tall boy latte, start walking for the subway, and then like, oh, wait a minute.
Got to get one of those quarters, get back in the bathroom.
This is why performance enhancing, athletes, it's illegal for them to take diuretics, not because it increases their performance, because it pulls literally everything out of their body and flushes it. So even if you do steroids, you have some diuretics, it's gone. Mm. And I would argue that coffee is a diuretic, of course. And why? You know, the term diuretic, we're just getting so close there.
It's funny, when you were talking about performance enhancing and pulling everything out of your body, I was thinking, well, that would help if you were pole vaulting.
Yeah.
But I don't know, for the hammer throw? I don't.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let me hit True Nijin here. As we age, start to see and feel. It in your bones, and you can see it in your face. They're creams that claims to give you younger skin, and emergency shots that give you youthful energy. Let's look deeper beneath the surface on how we can counteract the effects of aging. True Nijin helps us age better by supporting the energy-generating engines that exist in our bodies, helping us to restore youthful energy. Tiny repair enzymes work deep into your cells to help you recover from lifestyle routines that are hard on your body, including sleep deprivation, intense workouts, poor diet. True Nijin supports these enzymes. True Nijin is safety tested and backed by Nobel Prize winning scientists. Age smarter with True Nijin. Right now, new customers can save 20 $50 on a 3-month supply of True Niagen at TrueNiagen.com while supplies last. Right, Dawson?
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What else we got, Gina Gran?
So, a San Francisco district is planning to rename a school named after Abraham Lincoln because the former president did not demonstrate that Black lives mattered to him, according to the Daily Mail. The president, who is often held up as an American hero for abolishing slavery, is just one of 44 historical figures soon to have their name scratched off schools within San Francisco in the Unified School District. Other names include George Washington, Herbert Hoover, Senator Dianne Feinstein, whose name will be stripped from the elementary school of her name. You know why? Huh. Because in 1984... when she was mayor, she allowed the Confederate flag to fly outside City Hall. The district's renaming committee decided Lincoln is not worthy of keeping his name on Abraham Lincoln High School because, quote, the majority of his policies proved to be detrimental to Native Americans.
Oh, wait a minute. Lincoln, this is Native Americans. This isn't. Well, he didn't prove he was down with the Black Lives Matter.
It's all encompassing.
What was his take on the space program? And other shit that didn't exist for 200 years.
He never hashtagged BLM once on Abraham Lincoln's Instagram page.
I do love the fact that if you're some Yenta Karen and you scrawl out BLM and go down to the fucking rally so you can hear what Common has to say and yell at a poor boy, somehow you're in. But if you emancipate slaves, get them out of here.
About as good as it gets.
Jesus fucking Christ. Well, that's
I used to live at Gardner and Sunset, and there was the Michael Jackson Elementary School there.
Oh, really?
So there was Michael Jackson Elementary, but then all the news came out, and they put this giant sign over his name for many years. And then he died, and they took the sign down. So it was like he was in, he was out, he was in.
They didn't just make it after the AM talk radio guy, Michael Jackson?
Correct. I think, yeah, and I think that's the one I'm referring to. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if Abe Lincoln is on the table for dismissal, like if he's on the table for cancel culture, we're all vulnerable.
Frederick
like,
Douglass is next.
I know. For you next, Carolla.
Amelia Earhart, fucking check your mirrors, bitch. You didn't fly barely any black people.
Don't forget, remember a story, I think it was from last year, earlier this year, a statue of Mahatma Gandhi being taken down.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I can see. And also, we're going to have to be careful when we name future elementary schools and bridges, because they're going to go, well, we're thinking about going with Alex Trebek. And I'm going to go, well, that's problematic. And people are going to go, why? And I go, because he was fucking born. And that's the time we're living
in. Just you wait.
So everyone who's been born is off. Yep. We're going to have to come up with people who haven't been born.
No, just an animal. That's why you put up a bear or an eagle, or because it's, you know, or this is why previous civilizations have created Zeus and Athena, because it was just easier to do that.
Mm, right.
That's true.
Yeah, but I don't like, Michael, I don't like that you pick those very predatory animals. I think that's also very problematic.
My apologies.
Yes, and also
New York's got it figured out with the PS 182.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The public school system, yeah.
I know, but it's always so anticlimactic when you're talking to someone from New York. You go, where'd you go? And everyone else is like, out here. Like, I went to Burroughs. I went to Kennedy. Like, and then you go, where'd you go? I went to P-7R.
Yeah.
It's like, blah. It sounds like a license plate that was near the school.
It does.
I like names on schools, right? I mean, remember, I'm trying to think. So my high school, I was at North Hollywood High, so nothing.
Yeah, they're just named after the district.
Nothing there. But we would play Kennedy. There was Lincoln. They had Burroughs. Muir. I think we played like probably John Muir or something.
John Muir.
They had a John Muir out there.
Problematic.
Yeah. Polly.
Did he love trees too much? What's wrong with John Muir?
Don't know. I definitely did something to a black person at some point. Yeah, Poly High, Van Nuys, Grant. There was a Grant.
Oh,
what about Grant?
Go.
Grant's in Van Nuys. Grant's got to go, right?
It can't still be Grant.
Is Grant still Grant? I think Grant is still Grant.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, oh, there's Monroe. That's right. That's right.
Maryland.
I don't know. Oh, Monroe. Yeah. Probably president. But
oh, sure.
What Grant? What was Grant?
Ulysses S. Grant?
I guess. It's just Grant. The kids there were so fucking dumb, they have no idea what it was. They just think, a Grant's like a free loan, right?
Well, that's also the thing, is never in the education of those schools do they take a day and teach the kids the name of the person. I mean, that would be wonderful if they did, but they never do it. I start going through the schools in my head, and I go, all my schools, I don't know if these were people, ideas.
Well, I know this would get me thrown out of the Groundlings, but when I went to Walter Reed Junior High, I now know that Walter Reed invented the cure for malaria, I think, which great. Is they there did give us a stupid little symposium on who Walter Reed was. Yes, Ulysses S. Grant High School. And I don't know. I'm going to label it problematic, and we'll see if it... Yes,
he's considered one of our worst presidents in the bottom quartile usually. So maybe, you know, history has not shined a positive light on him.
Well, George Washington Carver. Yeah, we're going to have to start doing my joke, basically, which is when I did some pilot, blah, 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 animated, blah, blah, blah. But if we can find the beginning of that. Yeah, it's I did this 10 years ago, but it was George Washington Junior High, but we just put Carver on it. And then it was home of the Braves, but we got rid of the Braves and put a Viking helmet on it. And it seemed like a joke at the time, but I don't know. Yeah. The price of a new sign, you know, I think they're going to be modified. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grad.
All right. So authorities in Indiana are searching for a murder suspect who escaped from a prison transport van. How did he do that? Well, police said that this 22-year-old Leon Taylor was being transferred from O'Hare in Chicago, the airport, to Lake County, Indiana, when the driver of the van got a little peckish, stopped at a McDonald's drive-thru to grab some food. While they were waiting in line, Taylor reportedly asked the driver to roll down the window so he could just spit out the window. When the window was open, Taylor managed to shimmy out of the vehicle and run off. And by the way, handcuffed and fitted with leg restraints, pulled this off, and they still haven't found him.
Well, I want that man to be free because he's got he's got something called moxie. You know,
he's got grit.
He reminds me of me when I was a young prisoner.
Shimmying out of the back of cars.
It is very, very hard to not root for an escaped prisoner, and then the media always tries to remind you of why they're in there in the first place. But I'm sorry, you got out. Those two guys in New York, when they broke out and they were on the run for 3 months. Yeah. Oh, I was every day searching the internet for more stories about them, rooting for them. And finally they ruined it by saying one of them killed a couple people. And I was like, well, that sucks, but it is cool that they're out.
Yeah. He's not a folk hero anymore.
If you drove that van, your next stop is a desolate slice of highway where you ball up your fist and punch yourself in the face and then ghost ride the van into a tree and then lay down next to it and go, oh my God.
Yeah.
It can't be at a fucking drive through at Wendy's. You cannot.
Yeah, he had a pretty bad day.
You can't make that call from the Wendy's parking lot. You have
to. Morton Downey Jr. that shit.
Yeah, you got a Morton Downey Jr. and oh shit, I don't know why that movie. What, Brian? What's the movie where they went to wine country and he ghost rid the
shop? Oh yeah, Sideways. To make the car look more damaged, they drove it into a tree.
You better sideways that shit, bitch.
Do you think that prisoner bus just had one of those like window locks for the driver to just click, you know, like that would have solved the whole problem?
The child lock.
Oh, why didn't I just lock
But
the
with
windows?
Leg restraints? And he got it. Or and I will be watching the story in the next few days. Is that the story that the van driver is sticking to?
Right.
I just rolled down the window so he could spit, and like just like that, he was gone in the night.
Yeah, I would be super laxed with leg restraints because, first off, you know how close a prisoner's dick gets to your ear when you try to put those bad boys on?
Sure, I didn't think.
Uncomfortably close.
And those guys have not felt the touch of a woman in a long, long time. And
your
hairy
thing,
ass ears looking pretty fucking fetching about then.
And they would do to you what you were going to do to Sonny if he gets an earring.
That's right. Well, no, Gina, first off, I'm not a weirdo.
Oh, sorry.
All right, sorry. And Michael needs context.
Where'd that come from?
I told my son, please, context, and you're not
right. I made you look like a psychopath. You go ahead and inform him.
If he wants to get one single stud like Jerry Rice, I got no problems with it. I'm saying when you start getting the big hoops that get progressively bigger, God, what do they call those?
The gauges.
The gauges.
Oof,
you start pulling that gauge shit on me, son, and here's my promise. When it gets big enough for my dick, I will come up behind you at Thanksgiving, and that'll be your choice. That'll be solely your choice, because you certainly don't have to do it. And by the way, you don't know the circumference of my dick, and I'm not going to tell you.
Especially in gauge form.
That's right. That's right. But keep going, boy.
I don't know.
We'll see how this ends up.
It's tough to be a escaped prisoner, and you kind of try to go to the Denny's and get something to eat, and you got handcuffs on. But the foot restraints, too, makes it tough. He can't say, oh, me and the boys were having some fun. I lost the key. Can I just get the grand slam? But, I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
He's not going to make it far. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I feel like he's catchable. All right. Should we bring it home, Gina Grad?
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, last but not least, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you work hard. Your time is precious. How about you do a little bundling with Geico? You go to geico.com. It makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. And just go to geico.com. You get a quote. See just how much you could be saving when you bundle at geico.com. That is geico.com. Let's see. Oh, no, we got Lennox Lewis coming up. Right. So I did a one-on-one with the heavyweight great Lennox Lewis, and I pre-taped it after the show yesterday. So we're going to roll that in. I should give some plugs to Michael Costin, his very funny stand-up special. Detroit, New York, L.A., available now on ComedyCentral.com. Good to see you again, my friend.
Always, excuse me, always appreciate it. Thanks very much, you guys. I enjoyed this.
Thank you. We'll take a quick break, back with one-on-one with Lennox Lewis right after this.
Adam Carolla's I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture, has over 1,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Here's one.
He loves Adam Carolla, common sense, get through the amazing.
Yeah, Ozzy. Pick up I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture, and leave your five-star review on Amazon. Get all the links at adamcarolla.com.
Here with the heavyweight world champ, three-time world champion, Lennox Lewis. I'm such a huge fan of boxing, and if you're going to be a huge fan of boxing, well, then you're going to be a huge fan of Lennox Lewis. Lennox Lewis, by the way, is a documentary, The Untold Story. It's available now and on demand across all digital platforms. Good to speak to you again, Lennox.
Yes, good to speak to you.
So the doc, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what you think about all these kind of guys coming out of retirement and doing this sort of seniors tour when it comes to boxing. And then also the kind of freak show stuff where the YouTubers are challenging Conor McGregor, and you're a guy who walked away, certainly, if not in his prime, pretty damn close to his prime, and could have had a handful of big paydays, certainly, after you retired. And to the best of my knowledge, you've never taken them up on it. So can we talk about that for a moment?
Sure. I think at one time what causes a lot of heavyweights or a lot of boxers to come back is the fact that sometimes they need money, sometimes they don't know what to do, or sometimes people just look at them as boxers and they miss it. And, you know, I struggled with that when I actually retired. You know, HBO got me on a great job, you know, commentating. So I was thinking, do they want me to come back? Because every time I'm coming to these fights and I'm hearing the crowd, that may want to invite me back into the sport. But, you know, I had a job. So I didn't really have to go back to boxing. And, you know, I wanted to spend some family life with my kids and stuff. So I didn't want to be a boxer all my life. So I wanted to do some other things than box all my life. So I had different choices laid out to me that I could do.
What are your thoughts about Tyson coming back with Roy Jones and then all the kind of crazy YouTube challenge fights that are popping up?
It's interesting because, you know, it's all entertainment to me. As far as Mike Tyson coming back, I think it's great, you know, that he feels that he wants to show the public still some more of Mike Tyson, Roy Jones, too. And I think there's a lot of nostalgic people out there that loves to see that. I was telling somebody the other day, my son found it exciting because, you know, he said, these are two guys that boxed in your era, Dad, and it's exciting to see them. So, you know, I looked at the entertainment value of that as well, too.
The doc, and I love a doc. I love a boxing doc. I just watched the one on Hector Macho Camacho and that crazy, tragic story.
I haven't seen that. I did see that one. Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yes, it was.
Now, obviously, it has a tragic ending of him being essentially assassinated in a car when he was 50 or 51. Yours doesn't have a tragic ending because you're here talking to me.
Thank God.
And you're not grossly overweight. So the story that, well, how long, whose idea was it? Who came to you? Did you come to somebody? And can you kind of tell us the time that it chronicles?
Yeah, I mean, it was a situation where the chronicles are easy. There's not a documentary about me, the man that beat Mike Tyson, the man that, you know, people don't know too much about. So this really opens the door to my life, shows you my life growing up, where I'm coming from, what country I belong to, shows you a bit about my boxing history. And it shows you a bit about the man that, you know, went through this journey and, you know, his mindset and that he was really focused. And, you know, it shows other kids that, you know, life wasn't a bed of roses for me, too. There's a story behind me as well. Everybody has a story, you know. Evander Holyfield has a story as a heavyweight champion. Mike Tyson has a story. Now Lennox Lewis, the last undisputed heavyweight champion, has a story. And, you know, not only does he have a story, he's got vitamins out by Dr. Tobias as well. And these are vitamins that you need at this time in your life. And, you know, it tells the story of the loss I went through and how I came back from that. So, you know, these are bad times for a lot of people because of the pandemic and everybody has disappointments. And I had disappointments growing up and going through my boxing career, but it's really how you deal with them, how you conquer them and how you overcome them. So, it gives a good rendition of my life when it comes to boxing and stuff I'm doing.
I'm trying to think of trying to get my eras right. I always bring up Ike Abeabuchi as a sort of bizarre, tragic heavyweight story. Trying to do the timeline with you and Ike Abeabuchi, you were probably champion when he was coming up, or what was the timeline? He's the
timeline is timeline is I was actually supposed to fight him, and that got thrown back because of the situation. And I think that's when I started looking for Rockman, you know, somebody else to fill the boots of Ike. And that was supposed to be a serious fight for me. He was supposed to be a serious fighter, but he never got to really further that because of his problems.
Yeah, he's in jail, or just got out of jail, actually.
Okay, good.
So I've heard, but I want to follow up on that guy because he was a killer heavyweight. As I've said before, he was kind of an Ernie Shavers, for those of you who know boxing, in that he wasn't a top three guy per se at the time, maybe, but he had a big, powerful punch, and there was reason to fear a guy like that. And I'm curious your mindset, which is some guy's mindset is, I could fight this guy, but I don't want to fight that guy. And Ike Abeabuchi would be one of the guys you probably not want to fight. So what is it about your mindset that said, no, I will take that fight?
Well, because I wanted to prove that I'm the best heavyweight on the planet. And the only way by proving that, you know, you can't tell people. They have to really see it for themselves to really believe it. You can say to somebody, I'm better than Mike Tyson. I'm better than this Evander Holyfield. But they believe you to a point, but you have to prove it to them. And, you know, what the best proof is in the pudding. So people have to see it. So if I faced a man like Abuchi, you know, people would look at me and say, hey, you beat a strong man, a man that was feared, a man that could punch hard, you know. But we didn't fight him. We fought David Tua. Had the same credentials, you know. Right. He's a feared man, a powerful puncher, and you wouldn't want to step in front of any of his punches.
I think, yeah, David Tua is a Samoan guy who's just built like a fire hydrant, and it was more the same, just scary guy, little undersized in the height department, but big power. And I think Ike Abeabuchi and Tua fought at some point.
Yes, they did.
And Ike won that fight.
I'm not sure about that. I thought Tua knocked somebody out of the ring. I thought it was him, maybe not.
Well,
the
reason I think Ike Abeabuchi won the Tua fight is because when Ike Abeabuchi went to prison, he was 20-0.
Okay, there you go.
So basing it on that, I think he won, but we can look that fight up. You brought up Haseem Rahman. Who had a crazy journey. He knocked you out, kind of a flash knockout. It didn't look like much.
No, it was one of those punches that he threw that was incredibly, hard and wide, and my chin happened to be in the way of it. So he caught me good, and I went down, and then the referee counted me out. You know, I'm the champion, and he counted me out. So I was like wondering, you know, didn't get a chance to even, you know, live like a gladiator, you know, go out on my shield. He counted me out. So, you know, that was the situation. And, you know, after that situation where, you know, I lost, mentally I was over it already. I was waiting, biding my time to get back in the ring so I can actually go at him. And it shows that, you know, in my history, you know, before that fight, I was actually doing Ocean's 11. And that took out 4 days of my life, really. It didn't really bother my boxing career. But, you know, he was actually, Haseem Rahman went to South Africa first and stayed a little bit longer than I did. So he got a little bit more acclimatized to South Africa, which is an high altitude place.
Oh, really? Where the fight was.
Yeah, and I wish I could have gone there a bit earlier, but I didn't go. But he took advantage of took advantage of the ref counting me out, and that was it.
By the way, David Tua was Ike Abeabuchi's 17th win, June 1997, for the WBC International Heavyweight Title. So Ike Abeabuchi handled Tua, and Tua was a scary guy, and I guess Ike Abeabuchi was a little bit scarier.
Did that go all the rounds?
I'm trying to. Yeah,
12 rounds.
It went 12 rounds. Jesus Christ! Yeah. Those two guys, so heavy-handed. Both those guys.
I'm gonna go back and look at that fight.
I remember it being a slugfest, and the Vegas odds on a heavyweight fight with guys who have that much power in each hand going 12 rounds, if you'd bet on that thing to go the full length, you would have bet $10 and got back $100. But so Lennox, then Haseen Rahman fight, you get the rematch, and he just has a nervous breakdown on a stool, right?
Haseen Rahman?
Was that him or was that the other guy? I'm trying to think of who had the breakdown.
That was Oliver McCall.
Oh, Oliver McCall. God damn it.
Yeah, Oliver McCall had he had a couple of mental problems, and that guy still challenging me today to a fight.
Well, all right, so you go back and you avenge the Haseen Rahman flash knockout.
Yes.
And then Oliver McCall, who is the guy who I don't know in what round just sat down and just wouldn't get up again.
Yeah, that was actually my first loss. Yeah. My first loss was Oliver McCall in England. Then the second fight with him, he kind of broke down and started crying, and you know, the ref Mills Lane had to stop the fight in one of the rounds, and that was pretty sad because we didn't realize if he was mentally sound or what. That was the first time a guy broke down in front of me in the ring. I remember my trainer Emmanuel Stewart saying, "You're not hitting him." I'm saying, "Emmanuel, he's crying." He said, "I don't care. Beat him up." So that was kind of weird. These are a couple of my weird fights that I've had in my career. So that was a weird fight. Anyway, I won back my title. And the second time I lost was in South Africa with Haseen Rahman. You know, it came over there and hit me with a great shot. That's the great shot I'm talking about.
But both fights avenged.
Both fights avenged.
Do you remember that? The Oliver McCall thing, do you remember your feel? Where he was crying during the fight, like during the body of the fight, right?
Yeah, I mean, it started, he was pretty elusive for a couple minutes there. You know, I was trying to take him out, but he was like standing there and then all of a sudden moving just in time. I'm thinking, this guy, you know, he's not going to do it again, because that's what happened in the first fight. Mm-hmm. You know, he kind of moved his head backwards and kind of reacted with a right hand, which, you know, hit me in that fight.
Yeah, I don't know if in the annals of boxing history, probably second only to you weren't fighting that night. I don't think. Let me figure this out. The three greatest, most bizarre things in boxing history is, people say Tyson biting Holyfield's ear. I don't know if that's as weird as Fan Man.
Oh, Fan Man was, I think, the weirdest. That was crazy. I remember that. I mean, everybody remembers that. It's like, you know, watching the fight, everybody's glued on this fight. And all of a sudden, some guy crashes into the ring, and you go, "What?" You go, "What?" It's like, is he mad? Did he know what he just did? Everybody reacted like I reacted when at home when I seen this fight. You know, you seen, you know, security was hitting the Fan Man. Who's this guy? This guy's just wrecking something. You know, everybody was just aggressive against him. I felt so bad. So they had to take him out in a stretcher because of that. No, don't ever mess up a big fight like that. That's like a Super Bowl. Somebody crashing into the Super Bowl and like, "Hey, I'm here." People are going, "What? You crazy?" And start attacking him.
Yeah, the crazy, was that a Riddick Bowe fight? Yeah,
that was Holyfield. A Riddick Bowe fight. Holyfield, yeah. Riddick Bowe.
That was it. All right, so there's a few things that are crazy about Fan Man. First thing that's crazy about Fan Man is the balls on Fan Man. He took off from a roof of a hotel.
Yeah.
He took off. He had a fan strapped to his back.
Yeah.
He had a paraglider parachute. I don't know how he fluffed up the parachute from the roof of the other building, or he just jumped off of the building. But either way, he took that thing. He circled around Caesars, and then he went in. And he would have completely stuck the landing except for his actual canopy on his glider, his paraglider, got tangled up in the canopy in the overhead lights of the ring.
Yeah,
otherwise, that guy would have been standing in the middle of the ring with his fan on.
Listen, I grew up in the same age as like Evel Knievel, so I know those types of mad things. I mean, even, you know, then his son takes it up after. It's just, I think it's an some type of nerve they got in their heads. Like, yo, I can do this. And somebody else is saying, yo, I can do it even better. And everybody always wants to better themselves. It's crazy. Until the demise.
Yeah, I think the guy killed himself on a hiking trail or something. It's got a bizarre ending to the story. But in my world, Fan Man may be the weirdest thing. Tyson and the ear bite may be second. But Oliver McCall crying on the stool and quitting, sobbing openly, is up there in my annals of weird boxing stuff. But go ahead.
Okay, no, I think you're right, because I'm trying to think of anything. The only thing that really tops that type of thing is somebody losing and then punching the other guy.
Well, you know, that story, if you'd like to know my boxing knowledge credentials,
yes,
that was done by the Harlem Hammer. And maybe the Harlem Hammer will even jump a spot up to replace Oliver McCall crying on the stool, because James Butler, the Harlem Hammer, fought in a 9/11 charity like exhibition fight or something. I think it was an 8-rounder. After the fight, when the gloves came off and they walked to the center of the ring, he cold cocked the guy and he busted his jaw and he jacked the guy up badly and was charged with assault and led out in like handcuffs. And went to Rikers Island, went to jail for assaulting a guy he'd been punching for 8 rounds, but now his gloves were off. And Richard the Alien Grant, so says my screen. Then that guy, the Harlem Hammer, went to go live with Max Kellerman's younger brother and killed him with a hammer.
Yes, I know that story. Max actually told me. Yeah, that's so sad. It's like he tried to help this man, and this man turns around and bites him.
Yeah.
Classic Scorpion story.
Crazy. Sam Kellerman was Max's brother. Yeah. It's crazy. Yes, that is the quintessential punch a guy after the fight, and he hurt him. He broke the guy's jaw. I think he, you know, knocked out some teeth and God knows what. Has anyone ever tried to do that to you?
No, things have happened like in a fight where, you know, guys, we're in the clutch, in close, and we're in a clinch, and the man bites me on my shoulder, like, yo, guy bit me on my shoulder. Or I've had sparring partners, I'm fighting them and then fighting them, and one spits in my face and then hits me. I'm like, who does that? You know what I mean? but you ask the question, there's the answers. There's a couple things that happen.
Any big fights you're looking forward to coming up in the boxing realm, heavyweight or not?
I would say Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great fight. I mean, that's a fight. That's going to be the fight of the century to me.
Terrence Crawford must be a small favorite.
He's actually a big favorite. I mean, he's very talented boxer, and you know, it's always talent against talent, and everybody wants, there can only be one. You know what I mean? Everybody wants to be the champ, but there can only be one.
When is that fight slated for? Do you know?
It's not slated. It's not even, it's spoken about, but it's not slated.
What about the heavyweights? Final thoughts.
Heavyweights. I think the world wants to see who the next undisputed champion is. So, you know, I know Tyson Fury's out there, and I know Anthony Joshua's out there everybody wants that fight. That's the big heavyweight fight everybody's looking forward to.
The movie or the documentary, which I will be watching because I love boxing, I love Lennox, and I love documentaries. Lennox Lewis, The Untold Story. It's available now on demand and across digital platforms, and the website lennoxlewis.com is where you go. Are you in England, Lennox?
No, I'm in Canada at the moment, but as far as the documentary, it was shown in England and everybody loves it. I mean, it's gonna be it's out actually on DVD, so the video thing is going up. Everybody wants to give their friends DVDs of it. So yeah, it's a great documentary. Like I said, you know, everybody's seen Tyson's documentary, Muhammad Ali's documentary. Now it's time to see mine.
I agree. And from most boxing, Tyson gets a lot of ink, and Tyson was bigger than life and brash and, you know, has all his famous news conferences and run-ins with the law and blah, blah, blah. But anyone who knows anything about boxing or studies boxing would tell you that Lennox Lewis had a better heavyweight career and was overall better boxer than Mike Tyson was. So congratulations.
Thank you for that.
Well,
thank you.
You deserve it, and it happens to be true. And again, I know about boxing. I think we've all learned that from this weird deep dive into annals of my brain. Lennox, thanks for joining us. And anytime you want to join in and talk boxing or beyond, we'd be happy to have you.
Good. Sounds good. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Lennox. Let me tell you about Simply Safe. Everyone wants to keep their home and family safe from break-ins, fire, flood, and medical emergencies. Simply Safe Home Security, award-winning 24/7 protection. Not only an arsenal of cameras and sensors, you get the best professional monitors in the business. They've got your back day and night, and they're ready to send police, fire, EMTs. These guys have been sponsors for years. They make a great product. We all use their product. It's easy to set up. You don't have to crawl under the house or drill holes or make a mess. Set it up yourself in about 30 minutes. The batteries last up to 10 years. Get it going in about 30 minutes and then let Simply Safe's professionals take over. Monitoring your home 24/7. Ready to send help at a moment's notice if there's an alarm. No long-term contract or hidden fees or installation costs. And right now you get a free home security camera and a 60-day risk-free trial. Just visit simplysafe.com/Adam. Get the free camera, the 60-day trial. That is simplysafe.com/Adam. All right. Going to be at Naples, Florida, coming up off the hook, January 16th, 17th, Burbank, California, Pickwick Bowl, January 23rd. And that's a drive-in show. Oklahoma City, Bricktown Comedy Club as well. And you can go to amcarolla.com for all the info and check out our YouTube page. We've got a bunch of free stand-up there. And until next time, this is Adam for Gina and Bald and Lennox saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And grab Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Get the links and everything else at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.